alive. Stay alive.
We are alive, indeed. We made it another week. Here we are in episode 35. And
episode 35.
We're dipping into something kind of unique this week in that we have never really talked about Marvel anything ever, and they do have their own horrorverse.
They do. They do. And if you've...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, we've covered DC villains. Maybe mm-hmm. we can work our way up to Marvel villains. Mm. But specifically, what they did with this Werewolf by Night is sort of they opened that door, kind of let you know that we have all these monsters.
They do. Granted, they're pretty derivative monsters.
Yeah.
That being said, they do have their own spin on them. And from what we've seen in this, it seems like they're a little more empathetic than, let's say, the MGM versions.
Yes.
Yeah, which I'm curious about. Because, honestly, I think they have to go that route. Because when we did do that DC villains, I love DC villains. But what makes Marvel villains a little less interesting to me is that they do kind of have the two sides in a way that the DC don't. They're just not as good as DC. Marvel's not known for their villains, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, they're heroes. They're based on heroes.
Yeah.
DC's the darker side. However, I don't know how you felt about this. I kind of appreciated what they did with this. It was interesting. The director of this is a composer. I think this may have been the first or second thing he's ever directed. But he's been a Hollywood composer for a long time. And if that's just the case, and if this was his first, you know, his directorial debut, I thought he did a good job as far as stylization and...
Yes, execution-wise, the mise-en-scene were great. Production value, I can't fault. What I do want to talk about is shallow characters and hollow plots, because I was really excited about Marvel opening their horrorverse, obviously, because then we could start talking about it. But I did have issues with it.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I did rewatch it, and I liked it better the second time, knowing what they were going for.
Sure.
I think the first time I might have had slightly different expectations. I should have known, I guess, maybe via the preview, but it was definitely tonally not what I expected it was going to be. Should we start from the top, if you will? Because the title card's great. Honestly, the title card's my favorite part of the movie, maybe.
That's just it. Or I special. Mean, you called it a movie, and I kind of felt like it was... a short film, you know?
It's a special short film. Like, yeah, it's one of these hybrid... It's like an episode, really. It could have been the first episode of either Elsa Bloodstone's story or Jack Russell's story. Or granted, I think really primarily they were trying to introduce Man-Thing more than anything, a.k.a. Ted. Because with the multiverse stuff that's going on in Marvel, as he is... Ultimately, he can tap into the nexus of reality or something, this character, Ted. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be important in terms of popping around to the different verse, because I guess he has the capacity to verse hop, kind of a la that girl from Doctor Strange and Multiverse of Madness, which itself, I think, was maybe our first real dabble in horror in Marvel in the MCU.
100%. 100%. You know, and that's why they brought in, well, the original director, Scott Derrickson, who, you know, is a horror director. They, when he left the project, they replaced him with Sam Raimi, another horror director. I mean, that was the point there.
We got Blade coming up, so I think they are embracing this. And I didn't remember this little bit, but apparently in Thor Ragnarok, there's a reference to vampires. Where the character that Taika Waititi plays, the Rock, Korg, mentions having killed three vampires that were huddled together.
I don't remember that. That's funny.
They've been leading to it. They've been leading to this, which I'm excited about, especially given how much DC apparently botched Morbius, so much so that I have no interest in even watching it. I'm going to hate watch it eventually. But did you even give Morbius a shot?
Sony botched Morbius because it is still part of the Spider-Verse. Right. And they... Oh, I thought it was horrible. I thought it was just terrible.
Oh, you watched it. Okay.
I did.
No redeemable qualities.
No.
Okay. Did they go super campy with it, a la the Venom? Because I loved Venom the character, but I really struggled with those movies as well.
You know what I struggled with? And I think, you know, it should have been the most important thing is the casting. And I thought Jared Leto should stay away from these bigger, like, you know, mainstream blockbuster projects.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think he's a really strong independent actor. But when you're giving him these mainstream roles, like We Crashed, too. Did you try and watch that one Hulu streamer about the people who made the WeWork company, where like it was a shared workspace? Got through maybe three quarters of the first episode because he was so ludicrous. The accent was just ridiculously bad. I mean, granted, he has won an Oscar, right? So he's got something going for him. And I love seeing him get beat the hell down in Fight Club. I could watch that scene over and over and over again. But yeah, I think mainstream is not for him. He should stick to more indie character fare. But who doesn't want those big bucks?
I mean, he's already rich, though, so...
That's a good point.
Pick your product.
That's beside
wisely.
The point.
Correct.
MCU is now dabbling themselves in this horrorverse, which I am optimistic about. One of the things that I did put... Because I kind of broke it down. What was good about this Werewolf by Night? What was not so good? I think just the not so good is that it is on Disney Plus, and that it is going to be inherently stunted horror-wise. I mean, there's a little bit of gore, but certainly not to the levels that we adore. We find super cute.
Correct. I think that's, I mean, you have to, just going into this project, realize that this is going to be toned down Marvel horror, you know? Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness had some really great visuals, but at the end of the day, like, Sam Raimi couldn't do Sam Raimi, you know, it was definitely like a crutch, you know. Its weakness is that it's limitations.
That being said, you gotta get the pipsqueaks into the lore somehow, you know.
Right.
I'm trying to remember where I first dabbled, and it was probably via like Count Chocula and Frankenberry via cereals. So this is certainly better than getting into the horrorverse via General Mills sugar cereals.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, there are versions of horror that could be a little bit more wholesome, and Disney is where that lives. I don't want to get into Hocus Pocus 2 because I haven't watched it yet, but clearly they're wanting to do the fun family horror, which we can all appreciate. But when it comes to this project, kind of felt like a love letter to your original MGM monsters and your Universal horror monsters. Even the stylization, shooting it in black and white, I thought was a really cool choice.
I agree. And certainly in terms of Man-Thing, I think that helped a lot. I don't want to bury the lead here, but my biggest issue with it was the design of our actual Werewolf by Night. And granted, it looks very, very similar to the early 1940s, The Wolf Man. And you're absolutely right. I think it was a love letter to that. Oh, what do we got here?
Little Wolf Man.
The Wolf Man figurine. That's the OG, right?
From
the
early 40s. It is. It is.
What I like about that design is that it does... adopt a more humanistic. You don't have like the snout coming out like we've seen in some of these other ones that we've discussed.
Right.
But at the same time, it just when he turned, it wasn't scary, and it kind of, he just looked like a pubescent boy to me. You know what I mean? It looked like he was suddenly this hairy little boy, and it didn't
have
any sort of like fright factor in the way that the music was suggesting and that the atmosphere was suggesting. That was, I think, the biggest thing that turned me off. And I know why it was done. I just feel like they could have added a little bit of something, a little more fright panache wasn't there.
I agree. And because, I mean, Hollywood can do a lot of things, especially Marvel. You saw the size of Man-Thing. What Hollywood's done with werewolves, we just talked about like Dog Soldiers a few weeks back. Very practically done, but scarier, larger.
Yes. Now, way scarier.
And I think I was expecting him, just by the size of that cage that they're in when he first turns, that we were going to get like a larger, more powerful. And they also cheated it, you know, like they didn't really show you the full on version. I guess I was a little disappointed too. Like I want
the only good look of the face you get is when he's over Elsa, when she touches his face. It's really kind of the only good look at the face. Right. And it's fun. It'd be great for Halloween, but in terms of tearing up that room like he did, I don't know.
I think that's my biggest beef. And here's the question. Is this what a werewolf is in Marvel? Are we going to see other versions of werewolves? Because you just introduced this. You just showed us what a werewolf looks like. A little disappointed.
Yeah, it's too humanistic, especially when you compare it to what we are seeing on the walls. And I love the setup of this movie. Right. I mentioned the hollow plot and the shallow characterizations, but at first I had a lot of hope for it because you walk into this, ultimately, this beautiful round room where all the hunters are gathering, and then you have the heads of all the monsters that have been slain by Ulysses Bloodstone in the past. And this, is where the scare factor and the real good makeup, or I don't even know what we call these props, was done. And it got me excited to see something like they created in these busts, in these heads. You don't mind going through what was on the wall?
Sure. I mean, I'm just going off of my memory. If you have it pulled up.
I got a list here. Great. So the one that looks kind of like a Nosferatu is, I guess, their version of like a real vampire, which I thought was really cool because it does have more of that old school vampire Nosferatu look, but it was scary. It wasn't like this Wolfman. It actually had a fright factor to it. That was the one, if you remember, Jack Russell, our werewolf, who said, "Oh, I fought that guy a couple times."
Yeah.
That was really cool looking. The Sasquatch, though a little, I guess, cliche looking, was also formidable and like way more interesting to look at than our Wolfman. Then you had a two-headed mermaid up there. I don't remember if you've seen this one really, really briefly.
I loved that
action because you had one that looks kind of normalish, and then the one side that was just like this horrific-looking thing brings you back to like old, like Homer's sirens that were, you know, entreating before it would dash you against the rocks. I liked that. I didn't expect to see a mermaid head on the wall. Let's put it that way. That surprised me. Apparently there is this demon head on the wall that's likened to a character in the Marvel Universe called Krog. It's kind of the one that initially, to me, I looked it up. I was thinking, is this like a Wendigo? Is this our abominable snow creature? But apparently it's not, and it's something called Krog, and it has the ability to possess people.
Yeah, I was going to say, when I visually saw it, I was thinking Bigfoot or a Sasquatch or a Wendigo, something of that nature.
Yeah, but apparently it's this demon possessor, which is cool, but I'm kind of bummed that he's already dead in the MCU because I'd like to see him in action. And then you had this reptilian head up there, which gets me excited for more stuff a la we see in Spider-Man with the lizard. Finally, you have something that I guess some people online have said it's akin to a gremlin. Or this Japanese creature called a Namahagi, which apparently haunts and kills little kids that are lazy. it sounds kind of like, you know, like a gremlin, like Krampus sort of.
Krampus, like, I was just going to say, it sounds like Krampus.
Which is cool.
Something to scare the kids.
But Man-Thing was the beast, right? Our Man-Thing, a.k.a. Ted, was the highlight of this thing for me. The way he looked, it was like a mini Cthulhu, you know, that Lovecraftian creature. Lovecraft is ginormous, but in this one we have a smaller version. Do you know much about, like, the lore of Man-Thing or his comic book origins?
Sure. I remember that he was a doctor, a scientist within the Marvel Cinematic, or, you know, the Marvel Universe. And I believe he was tasked with trying to create a super soldier that would be able to live through, like, biochemical warfare. And if I remember, he was, he tried it first and, like, it worked to some extent, but it turned the soldiers into monsters. And I also believe the thing that he was mixing his projects with was the Captain America super soldier, you know, which never works out. It never works out properly again, aside from Steve Rogers.
So what I remember, like, when he infused himself, he falls into a swamp, right? Because he is he is our version of the swamp thing in Marvel.
Correct. So what he does is, like, he also exposes himself, but he moves to the Florida Everglades because he wants to work in a space that's away from people, and work in, like, privacy and secrecy. And I think his ex-wife, or his wife even, betrays him and tries to give because he's neglecting her with his work. Okay. So she says to the government, I'm going to give you his serum. So what he does is he injects himself and then destroys the serum, turns into Man-Thing. I also remember in the comic that he worked with, now I'm forgetting his name, the lizard doctor.
Yes. Connors from Spider-Man.
Yes, so he works with him in developing this serum again. And then I also think that they're, like, when he never gets his serum right, I think he actually has to, like, do a pact with, like, a demon to actually figure out the serum to work on himself, and then destroys it, and now he has Man-Thing, and yes, that's the end of that.
And hence him being considered a monster worthy enough to hunt. So do you mind if we jump then to our hunters?
Please.
Because for me, the monsters took the cake, but I did think they did some interesting things, at least visually, with the hunters that gather. Did a little research into our OG, right? Ulysses. And right, I don't think this is the case necessarily in the special, but according to the comics, he's 10,000 years old. So this, like, giving of the Bloodstone is, like, a big deal. If you consider him 10,000 years old, and as stated in the special, apparently it gives you super strength, durability, and longevity. But this thing is an alien fragment. To me, it looked like a missing Infinity Stone. You know what I mean? I was like, is this the, what is it? How many stones are there? Five?
Yeah. Six stones? But could it be made up of the same elements? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure about that. But interestingly, this alien fragment is then tried to be recouped by some alien that destroys all of Ulysses' OG family, just completely kills them. And that is what kind of, like, sets him on this 10,000-year vendetta against all monsters in taking them down. We don't get that at all. And I find that interesting.
Yeah, granted, why not introduce that?
10,000 years might be a little much.
Yeah, I think there was an opportunity. Maybe they were trying to, like, skirt that part of it, but at least more backstory on himself. Like, so what we really learn is that he has a daughter that they have a poor relationship, you know, that she leaves. Right. And it could it be because she doesn't believe in what he does, you know, is...
Well, if he's 10,000 years old, he's probably not very relatable.
Right. Dad.
And she's been gone for, a couple decades herself. And Verusa, her stepmom... is a great, great character actress herself. This lady, so much.
Yes.
And her voice, especially at the end when she gets all screechy,
oh, gosh, is like
maybe one of the scarier parts of the whole thing. She obviously has a beef with Elsa herself.
Right.
I love this actress, Laura Donnelly. I don't know if you've watched Joss Whedon's The Nevers, but she's the lead in that, and it's just lot of fun to watch.
I know her from Outlander.
Oh, okay. I have yet to watch Outland.
Yeah.
That's super sexy, I hear.
Oh, yeah. but I think she is a great... I love both of our main actors here.
Yes.
I thought...
Yeah. I mean, that's what makes me a little bummed, because I love Gael Garcia Bernal so much.
Yes,
that I didn't
here.
Want him squandered in the MCU. And I like the idea of him being this character, because this character has roots in the comic. Mm-hmm. Interesting. It sounds like Werewolf by Night is really kind of mixed up with Moon Knight more than any other character.
Yes, I've heard the same thing.
Which kind of makes sense, you know, with the moon, you know, and werewolves, you know, mm-hmm. Booyah. And I'm a little worried. I hope as color... becomes where we see this Werewolf by Night, it gets a little more dynamic and interesting to look at him and not just
maybe
like
that's
a
where
fuzzball.
They go right. I was gonna say maybe that's where they add in a little bit more practicality with the design, but I mean the Wizard of Oz ending where we're actually seeing the color pour into things. Yeah, I was a little worried too. I'm like, what does this world really look like? Because when they started introducing that red color, I'm like, this is going to be very vivid. And Man-Thing was...
He looked great, though. I mean, I love the tag. That was another highlight for me. That their exchange was hilarious. I loved it. Yeah. I owe you sushi at the end, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I really, really enjoyed it. Who saved who sort of thing. Mm-hmm. That was great. Obviously, Ted and our werewolf, and even Jack Russell, who's who he is during the day. Jack Russell also being the name of a dog, right? Jack Russell Terriers. They had great chemistry, but I wanted to note that also Elsa, Laura Donnelly, and Gael also had great chemistry. The best dialogue in the whole thing is between them. It would have struggled if one of them was miscast, but that kept it with some veracity for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Even the other hunters I thought were well cast. I thought they were really cool. The giant guy with the beard and the axe was really cool. Yes,
Joshua Jovan.
Yeah, he was great.
He was awesome. I mean, he was either Scottish or Irish or something was going on with him, but he was hilarious. I was really excited about the characterization they were going to do with him at first, especially because he's kind of the first one that talks to Jack.
And
you could smell the blood on his hands, and he's like really admiring the symbology on his face, the makeup for... what was going on with the makeup on Jack's face?
You know, I kind of think it's a way to... He said it was for his family, but what I got out of it was I thought it was a way to, like, repress, or, like, you know, to keep the werewolf within. And by doing that, it still is the same thing, doing this for my family. I'm doing this to protect the ones I love. Mm-hmm. And that's what I got out of it. I was curious when the woman running the show said, when she's saying how many people everyone's killed and, like, he's got over, like, 100 kills, if that was actually accurate, or did he, as a werewolf, has he killed that many people? Or did he have, like, a false bio to get into there?
That was one of my questions about the whole thing, is there's really no explanation of how he infiltrated this group.
Right.
Is he really a known hunter like the rest of them? It doesn't sound like it. So he's like,
yeah, I was a little confused by that.
Who has killed 100? So that was kind of a plot flaw for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's bust back into the like you were talking about, our hunters. Jovan was great. What'd you think of Leorn, who was the guy with the... Like, you look like I used to have these Nerf guns shot to my wrist, these little wrist Nerf shooters. I didn't love his weapon, but he was the most gruesome death to get that arrow in the neck.
Oh, yeah.
You actually saw blood there. That was the best death.
Right. I agree. I thought you needed a couple characters that were just easily disposable.
Right. And that was definitely Leorn. I'm trying to think where I saw him before. I'm pretty sure it's like Westworld or something. Some of these characters I've definitely seen before. The most interesting looking one by far is the character named Azarel, and she's this really androgynous looking, the sword wielder. She's the one that makes it pretty much to the end. Have you started Interview with a Vampire yet?
I have. Yeah,
you have. So she's the madam. In the ladies, in the brothel.
She's very interesting looking. She's very tall and
Great character. I think she was really interesting. I wanted a little more backstory on who she was. For me, it was like I would have loved just a taste, a whisper, if you will, of where these guys came from, what were they primarily hunt. Wow. I felt like they were all a little too shallow. Granted, it was the 55-minute special. And again, the last one was Barrasso, who was like the taser staff guy. He didn't get his ear eaten off or ripped off. That was fun.
Now here's a thing that really jumped out at me as far as the technology that was being used. And like, when does this story take place? Is it current within our MCU timeline? Because with the look and the stylization, they made it feel like, you know, Universal Monsters, like it was in the 40s, but the technology some of them were using, like those tasers, seemed a bit more advanced, which I was a little confused about. So was the black and white just a choice for you know, kind of...
I think it was a stylistic choice. I'm choosing to believe that it was set in contemporary time.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's a good question. Granted, Elsa now is the owner of the Bloodstone.
Right, so she can live and stay the same.
And a werewolf, we don't know how they age, and those are the only two, and of course Man-Thing, that would potentially then live on into our current day. Yeah. So it could have been back in the 40s.
Right.
We're not really given a sense. That's, you're absolutely right of when it takes place. But I guess it doesn't really matter. It could be cool if they do then draw upon that and tell us if Elsa pops up again, which I think she probably will, that she is crazy old. She's like 100 or something. That would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be great.
I'd be cool with, because then we're getting good backstory. This then would act as, you know, primer for getting to love these characters more in future installments. I don't know. I think that's a really good question. Because other than the taser, I'm trying to think of anything that really does speak to now. The tuba on fire? Is that a new thing? Is that all the rage?
I liked that. That was a fun, like, well, that's an interesting instrument.
That was cool. I did like that scene. As a whole, I would say I liked it. Now that I rewatched it for this, I don't need to see it anytime soon again, or ever, maybe, to be honest with you.
No, and that's kind of sad, because I was hoping this is something, because a lot of the Marvel canon, like, you can watch it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And that's what I was afraid of with this project. Like, it should have been able to stand on its own, but is it going to fold into things a little bit better? And, you know, like a stepping stone to get these monsters into the universe, will it hold up better once we see more?
I hope so, but I do just feel like there's not a lot of dialogue, and there's a lot of just running around the maze that bothered me. I just felt like when such a short special, there was a lot of filler that didn't need to be. It wasn't like as concise as I wanted to be editing wise. There were some funny moments though, and I'm realizing now there might be another moment that points to it being in contemporary times, and it's that sticky bomb.
Yes, I was gonna say that was a really funny moment.
That was a funny moment. That was maybe the funniest moment when he kept trying to
stick
on the wall when you throw it. Like, she obviously didn't know what she was talking about, but
no,
maybe she was just messing with him
or he was just doing it wrong.
Yes,
but that was a
great moment though. It really broke up all the running that was going on around him while he was messing with that bomb.
Yes.
But that might point to more contemporary, because, I don't know, true. It was really small for a bomb. I don't see that being viable in the 40s. I don't know, but probably not.
Yeah. What do you think of the, as far as meaning goes, the Wizard of Oz style turning from black and white to color? How did you interpret that?
I'm thinking about it now, but I'm wondering if it's the darkness is now being integrated into the light of the MCU sort of thing. This is kind of our official introduction from that which lives in the shadows, moving into our very bright and colorful MCU-ness, you know? Might be it, just in a more meta sense. Did you see anything else happening?
I mean, that's probably spot on, exactly what it is. But I was also looking at it as, like, Elsa taking in her powers, you know, this transition now as she finally become the Bloodstone. And if you notice throughout the whole episode, red is the only color that actually appears through
very
the black
Schindler's
and white.
Listy. A lot of callback to Schindler's List.
Yeah.
The only other time I've seen that. It is effective. It is effective, the singular red in a black and white.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, the stone is red, blood is red. When we see the transition from black and white to color, her outfit is red. So it was interesting to me. I didn't know if it was just, you know, like a matter of bloodline.
You know, I like that connection to Elsa and her feelings about the monsters in general, because if you take into account how especially Verusa and all these monster hunters look at monsters. It's very black and white. Good and evil, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Elsa now, having her interaction with Jack and understanding that he is friends with Ted, now has a more nuanced understanding of what a monster is. And perhaps she is the reason monsters now in this world won't just be looked at as the black. And, you know, the grays and all the colors can now come into it because she's the one in control of this stone that is notoriously affiliated with monster destruction.
Right, right.
So she's kind of like, it's like maybe monster love now emanating out of it.
But that's an interesting question. I like that.
Oh, and you actually, you remind me because of the end there, right before that, you have the exchange with the butler, I guess.
Yeah.
Who tried to steal the whole special, and he's great. He was so funny. The way he was doing the crank on the coffin.
Oh, I know.
And all of his reactions were so big, and that, of course, is a callback to, you know, early movies as well. I dug him, and I'm glad he survived the slaughter.
Yeah. Yeah, he's clearly just the guy who's like, I'm just doing my job. Like, I'll serve whoever's in charge.
Right.
And then he's like, how can I help? Like, we can clean this up.
Yes, yeah. That was fun. She's a fun character. She definitely is. Her character was a lot like hers in The Nevers, but it doesn't matter. It's a good role for her. I dug it. I definitely did. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. The trouble with the 55-minuter is normally we'd go an hour on a movie.
Right.
But here we are. Half a movie. And
I guess we could say, what would you like to see from this? You know, like, what? So, obviously, this is opening that door. Like, these monsters exist in this universe. We're getting ready for Blade. We're getting ready for potentially Ghost Rider. We're getting ready for, well, we've seen Moon Knight, but we're also, like, Kit Harington's, you know, The Black Knight. The sons of the group of actual blades in it. The people I just mentioned are all part of the same group.
Okay.
I forget their name, but they basically like hunt monsters together. And what I'd like to see is, you know, basically the whole introduction to like vampires is amazing, especially in the Marvel Universe here, but I think Marvel might have some rights to Dracula too, because I believe there was some Dracula comic books.
That's really interesting. Dracula can't be used by anyone? I'm very curious about that because Dracula pops up so often in so many different places. But that would be cool if we do get a proper Dracula offering. I know we were going to eventually talk about Dracula movies, but the most recent one that was a series that I saw, it has this guy from Bad Sisters. I don't know if you're watching Bad Sisters on Apple TV, but
no, I've heard great things.
This Swedish actor, he's also in The Northman. He just nailed Dracula. But I am curious now about what the rights are on him, because I think it's one of those public domain characters, isn't it?
Right.
I don't know, but I'd love to see Dracula. I mean, that would be great for sure.
Here's the name of the group that blanked. The Midnight Suns.
Oh.
And the Midnight Suns are composed of Ghost Rider, Morbius. The Night Stalkers was a group of mystic hunting heroes, including Blade, Frank Drake, and Hannibal King, and the Darkhold Redeemers. That's something else, is the Darkhold was sort of teased in Scarlet Witch.
Right.
So we have all these things that might come pulled together. So I'm kind of curious where this stands. Like, I mean, you could say it's an introduction, but we have slowly been introduced through, you know, Doctor Strange. But I guess I would like to see some just, you know, witches, vampires, all your classic monsters introduced here.
I hope that's the case, too. I'm a little worried that the MCU Feig might be a little concerned about going too deep into that, given what happened with the MGM-verse and how that kind of crumbled. I know they're trying to re-up that again, too. I don't know if they want to have competing sort of Draculas and competing werewolves. I'm not sure. I like the idea of it. I'm getting the sense it's going to be more of a peppering versus like it becoming its own like offshoot entirely. But I don't know. I don't know. That's a good question as well. I hope for our sake that it becomes more of a mainstream Valve.
Yeah. But
I wonder if they feel like that audience is there that is the same as like an Avengers audience would be into something like the Midnight Suns? Yeah.
The Midnight Suns, so, yeah.
I hope so. I know like there was a lot of talk about those the Spider-Man baddies getting together as well.
Right.
Cuz they have their own little group. I don't know. I feel like at some point you can't have too many just like bad guy teams out there in the world.
I know.
But
so
it's possible.
Just really quick, doing some research here, is that Dracula is the book is publicly or it's public domain because it was written in 1897, I think, after like 100 okay. years. But there's all these, like, if you start searching Dracula MCU, there's all these like Dracula reported featuring in two upcoming Marvel projects. You know, like it's there, okay. And Dracula could be like in the Blade movie and that's the news this week, is that Blade's production was just put on hold because the director left in the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
And that scares me. I think they should just immediately pull in Sam Raimi again. Just come here. Here's your new project, because this makes sense. I would love to see that.
The Doctor Strange newest one, the Multiverse of Madness, did it bank like other ones did?
Yeah, it made its money. Okay. It may not have been record-breaking like some of the other movies done, but it definitely made its money. Okay. I don't think, and I think it was, you know, well received as far as critics go too.
See, for some reason, I remember being wary of it at first because I thought it got mixed reviews. But then when I waited for Disney Plus and I did watch it, I loved it. I thought it was much better than I anticipated it being.
Same.
So yeah, I think you're on the right track there, bringing in Raimi if he's down. But that is, like you said, not a good sign, especially for a property that was done pretty good initially to then only within 20 years try and really redux it. That's a tough one. I know the lead, I struggle to say his name if I'm honest.
Mahershala Ali.
He said it's a mess right now. Everything is kind of
troubled. You know, it's crazy though. It's like when you don't see a lot of people as Blade aside from Wesley Snipes, but when they announced Mahershala Ali,
he's perfect casting.
Yeah, he's perfect. He is perfect.
He's definitely good.
You gotta do it. You gotta do it. You gotta move with them. But I think we've beat the hell out of this horse.
We've tapped out.
We've tapped out
on this one. But we do thank you for listening, and of course we'll be back next week. Halloween, right? No? Is it?
When no,
is
Halloween coming 2 weeks up? Away? I think
2 weeks next from
week?
Now. We got Halloween coming up, so get excited, people.
Yeah, yeah. We got
definitely
some
be doing that.
Fun content.
But until then.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. What else? Well,
we'll definitely be covering the new Halloween movie, so.
Yes, exactly.
Check back in for that, and then until then.
But until then, stay alive.